Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from Luke chapter 11. If you would like to follow along with the written notes this morning, you'll find those on page 2 in the bulletin. One of the things that I find interesting as I read and study the gospels is the actions and the reactions of Jesus' disciples. Sometimes they get it. Other times, not so much. Sometimes they're right there with Jesus, following him, and other times they're kind of slow on the uptake. Sometimes they speak boldly and proclaim Jesus Christ, and other times they're quiet or even run away. I think my interest in this is at least in part because I identify with them. And maybe you do as well. Sometimes I get it and other times not so much. Sometimes I'm right there with Jesus following and other times I'm kind of slow to figure out what's going on. Sometimes I proclaim Jesus Christ boldly and other times I'm quiet or even shy away in certain situations. Our gospel lesson this morning shows us one time when the disciples got it right. One of Jesus' disciples says to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I'm sure the disciples knew how to pray. I'm sure they weren't clueless when it came to the topic of prayer. No, the ask at this particular point was, teach us to pray as followers of Jesus pray. That's a good question. What does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to pray in Jesus' name? What does that mean? Look like? How is our life of prayer shaped by our relationship with Jesus? That was a good question back then, and certainly is a good question for us to consider this day. May our voices echo that of that disciple of Jesus long ago, "Lord, teach us to pray." Part of the reason we need to learn how to pray as followers of Jesus is because there are a lot of goofy ideas out there about prayer. For example, many years ago, I had a very devout Christian woman come to me, and I met with her several times, and quite honestly, she needed to unlearn some things about prayer. As we visited over time, she shared with me that she had gone through a very difficult situation in her life, and she prayed and prayed and prayed fervently that it would turn out in a particular way. And the long story short is, it did not. And so she was told after the fact that if she had just had enough faith, if her prayers had just been fervent enough, well, then it would have turned out the way that she desired. But since that was not the case, she was told that, well, you must not have enough faith. It's as though she was told, well, it's your fault that things turned out the way they did. Talk about turning the gospel gift of prayer into law. Or sometimes we are convinced that we must persuade God to do what is best, that we have to win him over somehow with our words and with our fervent and frequent prayers, as though, well, we have to make God see our perspective on things. In fact, sometimes people even use the Old Testament lesson where Abraham's talking with God about the fate of the people of Sodom to make that point. But think about that story with me for just a moment. At no time in that story is there any kind of negotiation. God doesn't come back to Abraham and say, well, Abraham, I know you requested if there are only 30, but I don't know about that. Every time Abraham asks, and every time God says, okay. Abraham is learning to grow bold in his requests before God. I would suggest he is learning how to pray. Now, the reality is this. God always has what is best for you in his heart. Let me repeat that because that's really important for us to hear. God always, always has what is best for you in his heart. Jesus says as much in the latter part of our gospel lesson this morning. After talking about how a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, even though that father is a sinful human being, Jesus says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We don't need to convince God to do anything. God will do that which is good and right because that's who God is. God always has what is best for you in his heart. He loves you. He died for you. He lives for you. And his love for you is so great that he will indeed do what is best for you. The hard part, of course, is that sometimes what we think is right and best for us is not the same as what God thinks. Jesus, in response to the request of one of his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, points out that the heart of prayer is our relationship with God. Jesus responds to that request by starting with the words, Father, or in Matthew's gospel, our Father. In other words, he begins by emphasizing the relationship between God and us. That he is our dear Father, that we are his dear children. That as we saw again this morning in the waters of baptism, he has grafted us into his family. So that we indeed may call upon our Father who is in heaven. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, Paul even heightens that emphasis as he points out that as children of God, we can pray to God with the words Abba, Father. Abba loosely translated as Daddy, an intimate, personal term of endearment. How amazing is that? That the God of the universe, the God who created all things, stoops down and helps us so that we can come to him through the gift of prayer and call him Daddy. God gives us that beautiful gift. God describes that beautiful relationship, an intimate and personal relationship with him. Martin Luther puts it this way in the Small Catechism, in a section on the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children, ask their dear Father. It doesn't get more personal and intimate than that. Jesus wants to give us the best gift of all. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The best gift of all. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who creates faith in us, who nourishes that faith, who strengthens that faith and that intimate relationship we have with our God, who enables that relationship to grow and to flourish. Lord, teach us to pray, trusting in you. Lord, teach us to pray, trusting that you always have what is best for us in your heart. Lord, teach us to pray, that we may be drawn ever closer to you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. I invite you now to stand.